This is wonderful. We have such a diverse group here. As best I can tell, I believe we have about 9 to 10 Sunday school classes represented in this room, and there's only about 20 classes in the whole church of youth and college and adult. And so that's great, great participation. And I just want to cast the vision from the beginning for you to listen well with the intent of how can I take what I've been entrusted with and reproduce it to my Sunday school class? Or how can I pass on what I'm learning to equip and educate others, whether it's a life class that meets on Sunday evenings coming up in the spring, whether it's a Wednesday morning men's Bible study group, whether it's your Sunday school class or a home group possibly that meets at your house. How can you reteach others who maybe didn't have the availability to come this afternoon? And I won't be talking the whole time. We're going to get to hear from Holly and Tommy and Gloria, who all have spent time on the field as long-term workers overseas. But I am going to kind of shepherd and facilitate our time and our discussion. And I thought it would be helpful if we started with a vision for the need. What is the exact purpose and why is it that we are gathered here? And so a vision for the need. Lakeview Baptist Church is incredible in this, the fact that we have about 83 units of missionaries. I call them workers just because that's more safe vocabulary. And the M word, missionary, can kind of be negative viewed by some governments. But we have about 83 worker units. And when I say unit, that could comprise a single, that could comprise a married couple, or that can comprise a family. So 83 units who either are current members or at one time were members. And that's just baffling because we have about 1,800 members on our membership roster. And so obviously we have a great mission force, but we also have, that gives us many workers that we're entrusted with to care. And it's just not possible for Tammy McDonald to do all of the care, or the Trinity team, a group of about 10 to 15 people who are basically the, in other churches, they might call it the mission committee. We call it our Trinity team. That group alone, or Hal Cooper alone, our equipping staff alone, is not able to care for all 83 units. And that's where you, the body, can have an active and vital role in seeing the Great Commission accomplished amongst nations. And it's such a privilege and an honor, and it's not meaningless. It's not secondary. It's not B-team Christianity. We want to be just as invested in earnest desire of repentance among the nations as the front field workers on the front lines. We want to have just a heart of passion for the exaltation of Jesus as those that are sacrificing great comfort and sometimes putting themselves in harm's way. And so it is meaningful. It is important. You do have a valuable role. And so we're going to talk about that. And just to frame it again as the vision for the need, why is it important to do member care? You know, we think, don't these missionaries, these workers, have agencies that do that, right? And while, yes, that can be true, but I would, you might be interested to know that oftentimes agencies might be a little understaffed in the care department, having licensed counselors or simply people that video call and check in on their missionary units. It's not out of a lack of desire, but sometimes it's a lack of funding. Sometimes it's a lack of personnel. And so I've even heard that that there's like in one affinity of with the IMB, there might be 3 to 5 member care professionals for 300 to 500 personnel on the field. So each member care associate is tasked with maybe 100 or more. And so they're taking a more reactive stance to member care. Welcome, Anna and Buddy and Robin. Thank you for being here.
We'll be on the back.
Yeah, sure. And so in a lot of agencies, just out of necessity, have to take a more reactive approach. Like when there's a great need, when there's a traumatic situation, like I was traveling to Nepal for a summer and a massive earthquake hit, and the kids of the families were traumatized because they had to sleep outside for days because the aftershocks, they needed to get out and get some help for some PTSD counseling. And so they flew, their whole team flew to Thailand for some member care. And that's good, but what if we could be more proactive as the church, always keeping in touch with our workers on the field so that along the way we can walk with them through grief, through trauma, through whether it's sin or culture shock or language learning difficulty, or I don't know how to parent teenagers, you know, all of these things we're going to talk about. And the beautiful thing, too, is you have resources in and of yourself, whether it's your occupation or your life experience, that a lot of these 83 units, they don't have that resource, whether it's expertise and knowledge or life experience. Or if you in this room don't have it, you know someone who does. And so we just want to continue. We're not even starting the discussion of member care. That was started before I was even born. Lakeview's been caring for workers overseas a long time. And we just want to build on that legacy and build on that foundation and continue to exercise the body, just like the Trinity Plan says. The Trinity Plan is that we would be exercising the body of Christ, that is by your spiritual gifts, shepherding, teaching, exhortation, mercy, servant, administration, healing, whatever your gift is, we want to help you exercise your gifts from the Holy Spirit and your talents, your just talents through professional life or whatever, and your treasure, exercise the body so that we can expand the work of our sent missionaries through short-term teams, through prayer, through finances, and extend the gospel, the kingdom of God, where it's never been before, through making disciples and planting healthy churches. And the vision for the need is that you're valuable to seeing this happen. How? You're valuable to extending the gospel into places amongst peoples who've never heard. The how in that is that how can a family stay on the field if they're enduring such great turmoil? And your Sunday schools or your specific as an individual, as a family, email every Monday, like clockwork, that worker, or maybe you do it just at random. Once a month, you send them an email. Once a quarter, you video call them, and your call gets cut off 7 times because the internet's so poor. But it means the world, and it keeps them out there. And what little orphan child is going to get to hear the gospel and see what it's like to be a godly son, a godly daughter, a godly husband, a godly wife? What widow is going to have her needs be met by the churches that are planted? What unemployed people are going to receive employment from a businessman who's received Christ, repented, and is now practicing godly business principles? What tribe or language will join around the throne of God for all of eternity and after thousands of years still have thousands more to sing his praise. What of those people, which of those people will hear the gospel because our missionaries are sustained emotionally, spiritually, financially, because we care for them? It means something. It's important. It's not second rate. And I'm so humbled that you see that, and that's why you're here. And we know that the 15 that were at the training yesterday and the 20 or so that are here today aren't enough to care for all 83 units. The good news is there's so many others that are already doing this so supremely, so well. But if we could just, you know, Paul writes, let your love abound more and more. Keep on increasing in love. And so that's what today's about. Let's keep on doing it to the glory of God. So with that vision for the need, I want to pray for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, I thank you for these precious saints who have taken out a valuable time of their afternoon to be here with us, to be so affectionately desirous of these ones that we've sent and these unreached nations, that we would desire to share not only the gospel with the nations, but to share our very own lives, that we would desire to share our own selves with our sent ones, to bring about the obedience of faith, for not for the sake of Lakeview's name, but for the sake of your name, the one that is worthy of honor and blessing and power and wealth and wisdom and might. Oh God, show us ways that we can be more loving and more kind. Show me. Give us an open heart to spend our lives for the advancement of your gospel here, locally, and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want us to think about where we're going to start now that we've talked about the vision for the need. Is many of you came in here this afternoon knowing what we were going to talk about. You knew the what was member care for missionaries. That piqued your interest. Something in you made you plan your afternoon accordingly. And so you might have wanted to come in and hear the how, the step-by-step process of how do we care for our missionaries. That's important, and we're going to get to that, I promise. But I think it would be wrong if we started here with the how and didn't start here necessarily with the why. And you might think that's what we just did with a vision for the need, but that really wasn't the why. Our why of why we're even here this afternoon is going to be informed by the scriptures. So we're going to do a little group scripture study together. So could I have... We're going to be in Philippians, which is funny. I'd planned this before I knew Kevin and Aaron were preaching through Philippians. And we're actually going to be in all of the chapters of Philippians except for the ones being preached on today. So we're going to be in chapters 1, 2, and 4. So we're here in all of chapters 3 from the pulpit today. But while you're flipping to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, I wanted to share the overarching why. The overarching why is that none is worthy to redeem men for God. None is worthy to cleanse men and women of their sin, of their iniquities against a great, pure, righteous, holy God. And so John was weeping at the thought of that, that there was none worthy even to open the scroll in Revelation 5. But then he saw one who looked as a lamb who was slain. Imagine Jesus, the slaughtered lamb, still, how could he look as if he was slain unless he still had the effects, maybe as one who was slaughtered? Maybe still the spear hole in his side. Maybe still the hole was in his hands. The bruises, possibly, I don't know, this is speculation, but the imprints of thorns on his head. But in Revelation 5, it says John looked and saw a lamb who had been slain. And he said, "Worthy," this is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, "worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you purchased men for God from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and language." And it says, "And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God." Jesus has, past tense, purchased these peoples that our missionaries are going to. They're not going out for the victory. They're going out of the victory. They've already been purchased by God, by the blood of the Lamb. Some people ask them, these men that were in Revelation, "Where did you get these white robes?" And they said, "We were washed in the blood of the Lamb." And so that's the why, because Jesus is worthy. Muhammad's not worthy. Buddha's not worthy. Technology is not worthy. Sports is not worthy. Money is not worthy. The trees and the moon and the sun that animists worship to is not worthy, but God is worthy. And Jesus is worthy. And so in Philippians 1, we're going to look at how one local church tried to live out member care. There's so much more that the letter to the Philippians is about than member care, but it's right and good for us to see member care in it. So could I have a volunteer read Philippians 1, verses 3 through 7? Okay.
So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in the defending and confirming the truth of the good news.
Thank you, Ms. Melvin. Yes, so I want to hear from you. What do you observe? This is Paul writing the church at Philippi, and I should have set the context up before this as well, but really, Kevin did it well today. Paul had helped plant the church in Philippi in Acts 16. He birthed this church by the Spirit. So in Acts 16, they go down to the river during prayer time. Lydia comes to repent and believe in the good news. She and her family are baptized. Later, Paul and Silas see a demon be cast out of a woman who is a slave woman making a profit for her owners through her demonic activity. The owners are so infuriated because they've lost their ability to gain a profit for their demon-possessed slave that they drag Paul and Silas into the town of Philippi and say, "Look at these men raising a ruckus," and beat them with sticks and rods, and they throw them in prison. And around midnight, they're singing hymns and praying to God, and an earthquake shakes open the cells. And the jailer, fearing that if all of the people in the jail have escaped, I'm going to be held responsible, is about to commit suicide. And they said, no, wait. We're here. And he comes in awe. Who are these people that have such great hope that they could sing songs and pray while in such great suffering. That's not literally what he says, but you imagine that's what he's thinking. And what he says is, what must I do to be saved? And they say, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. They're saying, this offers for you and your household. And so they're saved, baptized. And you just have to imagine that there's such great, tender love between Paul and the Philippians. It was one of his first, not his first, but one of his first successful cities to be in. Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, he saw some fruit, but now he's seen fruit in Philippi. And so with that in mind, the great love that he probably has for these people, I want to hear from you. What do you observe from verses 3 through 7?
He is calling the people his partners.
Yes.
And spreading the gospel.
I think he's obviously spent a lot of time in prayer with all of that, you know, with regard to them and
outreach. That's right.
Every time he thinks of them, he just rejoices.
Mm.
I thank God
for you. Mm. Who else wants to share?
He's encouraging them in their walk with the Lord.
He's saying that they share in God's grace with him.
Mm. Partakers with me of grace. Yes. That's beautiful. Someone else?
The work goes on until Jesus returns.
Hmm.
At the completion of the work, it's not dependent upon them. That is dependent on being completed through Jesus Christ. So it's not like, oh, we have this big burden that we have to do this. It's through Jesus Christ. So he's letting them know, no, you're not there by yourself. You're doing this by the power of Jesus Christ. So he's encouraging them to continue what they're doing.
That's right. And so there's probably more we can get out of that. But let's flip over into chapter 2. And I would love a volunteer to read chapter 2, verses 25 through 30.
Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me.
Wonderful. So, what do you observe here that might be related to member care?
To take care of my needs.
Yep, there at the end of verse 25, minister to my need. What else? Yes, Epaphroditus was a messenger, and he was eager to see them. What else?
He was called a fellow worker and a fellow soldier and a brother.
That's right.
he was making up to help whenever they could not help. So he was basically standing in the gap and risking his life to do what the others they could not do for Paul.
Yes, that's a stunning verse there, verse 30. Epaphroditus nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me.
Yes, in other words, like you didn't do this or couldn't do this. So he almost died because of him making up for what you didn't do.
Right.
I think there's a sincerity in their care. You know, back in the previous verses, you know, he was talking about how they were part of his heart, that you were in my heart. Heart. And then here, in verse 26, you see words like distressed and longing. You know, you just don't gin that up. That's something that comes from the heart. And, mm-hmm. I think he had that. You know, there was that existed. It was a two-way street.
That's right. Anyone else?
He went to help Paul, even though it sounds like he would rather have been at home, because he longs for all of you. It's like, no, I'm going to go do what Christ called me to do, which is go meet the needs of Paul in place of him.
Anyone say honor such men?
Honor such men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all of these observations are wonderful, and you can obviously see to set the framework here. I'm sure we all noticed this, but Epaphroditus was basically a short-term trip worker sent out from the church at Philippi to go care for Paul. We don't know how long he was there, but it seems that Epaphroditus was sent from Philippi to go care for Paul. He had some type of difficulty that almost led to his death. The church at Philippi is very worried. Epaphroditus is very worried because of the anxiety that his home church at Philippi is feeling. And so Paul is saying, I'm excited to send him back to relieve you of your stress and anxiety. And you could imagine maybe how this might play out and why member care is so important. And even the sending of Epaphroditus is member care. I know several of you have done those type of trips. Miss Val Gresham has done many for us, and others in this room have gone on trips just to be with the people. And there, you see the love that Epaphroditus cared so much about his home church that they were worried about his health. And this might be something like maybe we send a team for 2 weeks to go work with, let's say, the Chances, who are up on stage this week. Well, maybe there's some type of, we would always pray against this, but maybe some type of accident in Tanzania, or something like an appendectomy happens, or something that really causes some serious medical difficulties. We would be anxious about our two-week trip to people. We'd be praying. We'd be worried. Tammy would be sending out emails. Pray. This happened to our two-week team. This individual is facing this difficulty. We'd be anxious, and they'd be anxious for us. Maybe a mom or dad back home anxious, an aunt or uncle, a cousin, a brother or sister, and we're anxious. We're worried about them. And so the chances would be like, I can't wait to get them back healthy so I can send them back home so the saints at Lakeview can be encouraged. And of course, beyond also seeing that Epaphroditus is healthy, Epaphroditus is going to update the Philippians on what the work has, how it's been going. So we're starting to see here that member care isn't some invention of Lakeview or the International Mission Board or the modern mission movement. The church at Philippi was caring very deeply for their sent one, for Paul, so much that they would risk lives of their own members. Now let's look at chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. Could I have a volunteer willing to read that?
I'll do it. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received and revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Excuse me. I know how to get along with humble means, and also I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Maddox. Okay, so what do you observe from verses 10 through 20 here about member care? Right.
I don't think our motive for doing these kind of things is to get, mm-hmm. but we do get a blessing. He says right. there, you know, mm-hmm. but I seek the profit which increases to your account. I mean, you know, God's going to reward our efforts mm-hmm. in some capacity, maybe in this life, maybe in a reward in the next. But you know, not like I said, not that that's what we're seeking for. But at the end of the day, that is going to be a result.
That's right.
We shouldn't think that somebody else is going to take care of it, because obviously here, the Philippi was the only church that did send something. So I think sometimes that we become complacent. Oh, somebody will take care of it.
Right. You have to wonder. You know, he was stoned to near death outside of Derbe, I believe it was, or Lystra, Iconium, there in like Acts 13:14. They weren't supporting him when he left Macedonia? What about some of these other churches that he helped start? Philippi was the faithful ones.
It's really a partnership.
Also, I think about that when he talked about there are going to be ups and downs. You know, we're going to have times like the person that's supposed to do that didn't do it or wasn't able to do it, had some problem. You know, we can't say, oh, we're so far behind, we're just, you know, we're going to give it up, you know. But we just have to do when the opportunities come along, we're good. And if we fall a little behind, then something is going to make us think about it. We may see a commercial or we may see some mention of a person. We say, you know, I need to send them a note. You know, mm-hmm. and so we're going to have those ups and downs. Mm-hmm. We can't be discouraged.
That's right.
I was just going to say that communication then is not like what we have now. I mean, we have access to so many ways. But, you know, to check on Paul, somebody had to go, or, you know, something that took great effort had to happen. So
I think another thing that draws out of that, the effort, the thing that Tommy was alluding to, is the fact that sometimes on this side of that, of this exchange, sometimes it could be sacrificial giving on our part, And, you know, and I think he's, in some way he's saying, don't worry about it. My God supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, God's going to meet our needs. Anything we give that's going to put a deficit on us, God's going to take care of it. I mean,
right.
You know, it might not be in the way we think,
mm-hmm.
but he is going to take care of it. And you know, ultimately, we all got to sit back and trust the Lord for it to meet those needs and you know, do what we need to do to help.
That's right.
And I say that, and I don't help all the time. So, you know, I'm saying that more of a conviction to myself than anything.
One thing I think about here is that this church, they wanted to let Paul know that they cared about him because they did something that showed that they cared. And we may have empathy and we may say we care about missionaries, but if we don't do something that lets them know that we care, then how do they know we
right.
care? And
that's right.
It doesn't mean anything to them
mm-hmm.
for us to have good intentions and,
right.
unless we do something that we communicate with them, we give them something, we support them, we let them know. You're not in this, you know, we're supporting you. So it's important that communication be there to let them know that.
That's right. And maybe there's seasons where we don't have as many opportunities. We don't know what verse 10 is implying. When Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. I don't know if that means he was locked up in Rome and they just didn't know where he was. So they're like, well, we don't even know where you are, so we can't care for you. We didn't have the opportunity. I don't know. Or maybe it was he was in Corinth tent making with Priscilla and Aquila and he didn't have a need. We don't know, but for a time there, it seems that maybe it was a little lower support, emotional or financial. But Paul is so overjoyed that he knows, like you were saying, Mr. Melvin, he knows now you care for me. You've revived your concern for me. What else do we see here? And we're about to wrap up our scripture time and have a little break before we move into the how section, but what else do you see?
I like verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. I think I'm more like a weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice.
Mm.
The ultimate is just to do it for God's glory.
Mm.
The last verse. So what you just said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Mm. Our gifts are a fragrant offering, acceptable and pleasing to God. You know, we're not doing it for a tax write-off from the U.S. government. We're not doing it. You know, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We're not doing it so that others in our Sunday school will know, or we're doing it for the glory of God. And if that's not our heart's motive, keep doing it and ask God to change your heart motive. But it is a fragrant offering of worship to God. And it's okay if our missionaries aren't just fully funded, but they're more than fully funded. Paul says, I receive full payment and more. I'm well supplied. You know, it's okay if they're at 101%. Because the next month, someone might lose their job here in the States and they drop down to 98%. And so it's a good thing. The last scripture to end our study we're done with Philippians, but we're about to take a restroom break and then we'll come back. But I did want to just show you a passage that you might not be familiar with. 3 John, flip back towards Revelation, right before Jude is 3 John. And I think this will just bless you and encourage you. I know it did me. could someone read verses, well, the context is John, the disciple, is writing Gaius, and Gaius has a church. We don't know what his role is in the church, but there's a church there where Gaius is from, and John's writing him. Could someone read verses 5 through 8?
I think Tommy's already done that.
Actually, I memorized it during the while you were talking.
Yeah, you read it for us, Tommy.
If I'm on the right one here. Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth.
Just stunning. This, wow. This whole partnership wording isn't just a ploy by our missionaries to get us to give them money. We're fellow workers for the truth. You're a fellow worker for the truth. And it is a faithful thing you do, brothers and sisters. It is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts. You might think no one sees this. This is baking these cookies is so inconvenient. Setting up this donation where the software keeps getting messed up with my bank and I have to keep setting it back up. My card's been canceled because of some scam, and the missionary keeps asking me to set the donation back up. It takes so much effort. You might think, is this really worth it? It is. You're a fellow worker with the truth. And you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Because these people have been sent out for the sake of the name. They're going out for Jesus' name. Let's send them well on their journey. I just, a quick testimony of that. My family, my wife and daughter, we've been living on support for 5.5 years, and God has always provided for us. And 2 weeks ago, we were going out to Texas, and we had to be out there around 1 in the afternoon, and we couldn't make that drive all in one day, especially with a one-year-old. So we booked Airbnb in Louisiana, and coming back, I was just thinking ahead. I was like, it'd be helpful if we could save some money and didn't have to pay $70 for a place to stay. So I only knew really like one person in Mississippi, a former landlord of mine who's about 80 years old. And he lives in Brandon near Jackson. And I emailed him and I said, hey, we're coming through. Could you or someone you know house us for one night? And he emailed me back and he said, my wife's had a stroke. She's in bad shape. We can't do it. But my next door neighbor can. And he said, by the way, you're on staff at Lakeview, right? And I said, I am. He said, this woman, Glenda, she's been our next door neighbor for decades. Her sister is Patsy Fellows. And so Willie and Glenda Rivers just blessed our socks off, y'all. Strangers. I think they were already volunteering to do this before they knew the Lakeview connection. Our landlord just reached out to them, and they were going to take us in for the night. And not only did they do that, they fed us dinner. They fed us breakfast the next morning. They encouraged us in the Lord with their testimony. And then Mr. Willie slipped me $200 cash. And they didn't have to do a meal. They didn't have to do money. I mean, we just needed a place to lay our head. And we were strangers. We're not their church members. But they sent us on in a manner worthy of the Lord. And we want to do that as well. And so that's what we're going to talk about for the whole next hour. So let's take a 10-minute break. We're going to start promptly at 5. Of a field perspective of what it's like to be cared for from home. So could you share with us?
Okay. Y'all just pray for me because I am not a public speaker and this is really nervous for me. But my name is Holly West and my family lived in Uganda, Africa for 3 years. And we worked with Four Corners Ministries. It was my husband, Myron, and our son was 16 at the time and my daughter was 10 years old when we moved over. And anyway, my husband ended up contracting malaria while we lived over there, and through complications through that, he ended up passing away. So God has me here right now in Auburn for a season. I still work with the ministry, Four Corners Ministries in Opelika. And so when Samuel asked me to speak, all of these memories come flooding back of, you know, what meant the most to our family. And so I'm just going to share a few things that meant the most to our family, being away from your, you know, friends and family and your church family. And our sending church was, I'm from Alexander City, Alabama, and that's who was our sending church. But the most important thing that I think as a church body and as member care is to pray. I can't, I know that's a, you know, but it is the most important thing. I know the power of prayer got our family through a lot of the transition. Our kids, we had people praying just specifically for our two kids. 11th grade is not the best time to move with your child, but we had people praying for our kids, and our kids did amazing over there. They grew closer to God. So, but just prayer. And maybe somebody, I don't know how you're going to do member care teams, but maybe have somebody schedule a prayer calendar. But just to make sure whoever the missionary you have are responsible for, we can't pray for 83 missionaries consistently, I mean every day, everybody, but maybe divide up on a calendar every day somebody take a missionary, but make sure that missionaries pray for every single day. When you do pray for them, maybe just reach out to that missionary and say, I prayed for you today. I know the Holy Spirit worked in people's lives. I would get, you know, when we were having a bad day or something happened over there, you know, somebody just say, I'm praying for you, or prayed for you today. That just gave me a little bit boost to go a little bit further, you know. And also another thing that you can do is pray for the people group that missionary is working, you know, with. I think that's, you know, something that you're also praying for the family there, but also pray for the people, you know, people group that they're working with. So prayer is the most important thing. And I think your presence, I know physically all the time you can't be there, but just let them know that you are there thinking about them. But I do think one of the biggest and most huge thing for us is having our church family visit us. I can't tell you what a difference it made in our church body when our pastor and another guy came for the first time there. They were there when we were there by ourselves, and we had probably, it was one of the roughest weeks there that we've ever had. They said, you know, Holly, we know now how to pray for you, because they saw the day in and the day out stuff that we had to deal with. But just to go there and encourage them, not really have an itinerary, just do life with them day in and day out. See, you know, what they do when they wake up, what they do all throughout during the day, but just be present with them. So I think taking a trip with them. And another thing I think missionaries on the field need is accountability. Men need men to hold them accountable. Women need women to hold them accountable. And the pastors and the mission pastors and Tammy, it doesn't all need to fall on them. We've got enough members in this church body to have accountability with people. And maybe an advocate team is being formed before a missionary leaves. And that way, you know, when they leave, you don't really know who they are. But before they leave, if we could get a body of 10 to 20 people as their advocate team, and, you know, they head everything up, head, you know, the prayer, the and even updates for the church. Tammy can't send out updates to all about 83 missionaries, but if an advocate team, a small group, could send out updates or let Sunday school classes know, you know, what the family is, any prayer requests especially, you know. But that's just one of my suggestions. And another small thing, which is a huge thing, but remember them. Birthdays, even the children's birthdays, just remember them. I know it may take a month for a birthday card to get there, or it may take 3 months for a birthday card to get there, but just remember their birthdays, their anniversaries, especially during the holidays, at Christmas especially. My former boss and coworker sent my kids a box. The postage cost more than the stuff that was in the box to send over there. But when I was packing up stuff, I didn't know. Christmas was the farthest thing from my mind when I'm packing up our whole house and everything. But they sent Christmas decorations. They sent Christmas candy. And it was my first Christmas and my kids' first Christmas away from home. But they just don't know how much that meant to my kids, you know, that we had Christmas. It felt like Christmas a little bit, being away from home. But in our home church, they would send us a bulletin and a prayer request every week. They could have emailed it, I know, technology. But they wanted us to receive mail every week. And the church secretary would slip a packet in of taco season or spaghetti sauce or a pack of Kool-Aid. I know that sounds small, but that meant the world to me to go to the post office and we have, you know, something in the mail. And our kids' church in Daveville sent us a care package. And by the time we went to the post office to pick it up, they had sent a box of Reese's Pieces. My kids were so excited. Well, the rats had gotten into it at the post office. So, but the notes that the children wrote for them meant the world to my kids, just to know somebody in America was praying for them. But in my advice on that is be consistent. The first year that we were over there for 3 years total. And the first year, I mean, every other week we would go to the post office and get a package. The second year, you know, you go to the post office, the kids were like, did we get anything? Did we get anything? No, you didn't, you know. And so just be consistent. Don't, you know, it's kind of, you know, just be consistent and don't forget about them. Sometimes, I'll be honest, the mission field is lonely sometimes. And just to know that somebody back home is praying for you. Thankfully, I was raised in a Christian home. My husband, he was a pastor's son. We had Christian families that supported us, but there's a lot of people. I have a friend fits to go to on the mission field, and her family is not, she's a single girl, her family's not Christian. And I don't know what I would do without my Christian family that supported us over there. So, you know, especially people that don't have a family that supports them or whatever, just be there for them. And one of the other ideas is get your kids involved. We've got so many, and get Sunday school classes involved, but maybe have your kid have a missionary kid as a pen pal or whatever. And it's so important teaching your kids that there's missionaries showing the love of Christ and telling people about God. And I grew up in a Christian family, but missionary wasn't really big. We supported missionaries, but we really wasn't involved. But start at a young age and let them send a care package over to them also. And I won't talk about furlough and mission houses right now. That's another whole session, I think. So, but there is a great need, you know. Yes. When people do come on furlough, they need your help. When they come off from the mission field like we did unexpectedly, and my church body was there for me, prayed for me, gave me housing, gave me a car to drive. But I'm going to make a plug for this book. The mission team had to read this book, and I'm ashamed to say that I hadn't read it before, but it's The Nine Marks, and it talks about how the local church can care for their missionaries, and I am just going to read one little thing from it. Yes, we had a sending agency, but it's a very small agency. But it says the local church should retain responsibility entity for the welfare of those sent. What does it look like for a local church to care well for its missionaries? At its core, it means working deliberately to know their needs and act for their good. And we, as a church body, need to ask ourselves a question. You know, are we meeting those needs, their spiritually, emotionally, and mental needs? Because it's very hard on the mission field, and I know the people that's been on the mission field could attest to that. They need your prayers and just to know that you're there and that you're not alone. So that's all I have to say. So.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Me?
Sure, yeah.
Well, I couldn't convince you any more than Holly has said so well about the actual need for member care and what it means to you. But I just sat down and wrote some random thoughts I'd had. Since we've been back in our class, we were the people who did the sending and the making the packages and Christmas time. But so I just wrote down a couple of things, just some ideas I had thought, and they aren't very well organized. But one of the first things we did, some of our families had children, and we sent each one of them a box. And like Holly said, it was like $75, I think, for one of the boxes, and another one for $85, I think, when we were sending them. So it sounded like that was a lot to send maybe $20 worth of workbooks and Oreos and things like that, you know. But it was really well worth it, especially when they're children. When the children got older, in one of the families, we quit sending, they were not as interested in games or things like that. And we gave them, we would send them an Amazon card, which you can send online. And each one of the kids got to pick a game or something like that. And just about everywhere in the world, they can seem to get Amazon. I don't know how or... I just asked them if that was a possibility, and they all said, "Oh yes." Especially when these kids were up and starting to be teenagers and things like that. So that might be another angle that you can do. Another thing, when we had money for someone, there was a single lady who was in Africa and could not receive anything. She had no way for us to get it to her. We ended up sending money to her parents. It was an organized effort, but she said, send it to them, they'll put it in my bank account, and I can draw it out. So, and sometimes we would just send money, and that might be another possibility. You can also, I think that anyone can be a member of InTrust. It used to be InTrust Credit Union, but we still have, I don't know, a lot of people probably still do. They've merged with another credit union, but they have a good opportunity to, and we have used this for some of our missionaries, especially the ones that had older children or no children, where we just wanted to send them some money to buy something, and we would, you can transfer money from one account to another. And you can do that, you know, online. And we would send money then where they are. They could draw it out in their own currency. So we sometimes did things like that. And I'd be glad to talk with you about the technicalities of doing that. Do you want to mention the magazine things?
Well, when the Coppingers were here for our mission conference, I asked her about the children. And she said the girls were getting to be teenagers. And she said they loved the teenage magazines, the preteen, and there's some Christian teenage magazines that you can send. I said, and you can get that? She said, yes, we've got our address, you just send it to our address, so that's one thing to do for them.
So that was a kind of a new angle that we had. Coppingers are one of the families that our class supports, and their children are some of those who are getting older now. And they have, you know, they have different viewpoints. But I would say about the packages, going back to that, even though it is expensive, now we were on the field, of course, after we retired, so we were like grandparents to some of the children who were there, but they were pretty, even though at the cost of sending it, it's still, it's really worth it, because when the kids found out that who were on our team, when they found out they had a package at the post office, like you talked about, it was just like Christmas. It didn't matter if it was July or what, you know. And they would, they did things like, I just remember just how happy they were, and they would open the Oreos and dole them out in little bags, and everybody got four, each child got four, and I mean, it was a big deal, you know. So really, as far as just enjoying getting something and being thought of, that the still the package, I think, is a good way, and you can keep swapping it around, like Holly mentioned, that was another thing. And then we also found that we could send money through the organizations that they're sending organizations, but there was a difficulty that we had in getting it to them personally with some of the organizations. If it went to the organization, it went for ministry. And so, because then they issue you a tax credit. So, you know, you could, those are some things to investigate anyway. Short of sending a package, I think you would be surprised at how cheaply you can send things through the mail to if you would write a letter. We're kind of in the old, we use email and everything, but, you know, now everything is done online. It's almost too easy, you know, but if they are able to get an envelope with a letter, even if it's just very short, I mean, for a couple of $3 in a lot of places, some that I've sent would be $2, you know. So, you know, that's in the big picture of things, that's not very much money. And so I think that maybe, too, again, it's something different, you know. It's not like maybe getting a box, but it's pretty close to that. And a personal note or personal letter, I think is still in vogue because it really does. I think they appreciate getting something like that. And one thing that we did that was kind of fun, this was done to us. We had some of our support ask us. They said, tell me, it was funny, they sent us a form we had to fill out. It said, things I wish I'd brought. And you know, there's always a lot of that. And so it was fun to come up, and we'd sit down and we'd say, oh, if we just had that potato masher that we, you know, that we didn't pack or anything. And so when we got a box one time, it was like, I remember one time,
everything we asked for on the list.
It was things like soup. I remember what's that soup brand that's so good to me anyway? We ate a lot of soup anyway. Potatoes and cabbage are big in Russia, so that we had a lot of that. But then we got some of this soup from Publix or somewhere that was a real treat. But anyway, things like that, things I wish I had brought, or maybe even ask them like, what are your top 10 things you wish you had, or something like that. Anyway, anything interesting, you know, just to kind of, even though it just lets them know that you're thinking about them. But when you meet those needs, you know, it was exciting when Gloria got her potato masher, you know, because we didn't have room in our suitcase.
And it was for you too, right?
Yeah. Yes, me too, especially. So those might be some ideas, I don't know. But as far as the need goes, I don't have anything. You did.
Yeah, you did such a wonderful.
It was great just sharing that it's just exciting, and it's such an inspiration for, you know, little things mean a lot.
I will say my brother and his wife were in China, and they were thrilled to get a package from a group. And he said they had a note in there, and they said, we didn't have room for the Reese's cups, we left those out, and when they opened it, they had a ton of ramen noodles, and they were like,
"Yeah, yeah." And find out if they have peanut butter or not. You know, I know when we first arrived, there was no peanut butter there, and we had some in our luggage. And when they opened to inspect our luggage, which the KGB there checks everything, and they say that, oh, you have this. They didn't know what it was, peanut butter, and said, are you trying to sell this? And we said, no, we're not. But later on, then we were able to get it. And so we didn't want people to waste their money sending peanut butter because we could get it.
Yeah. Right.
So there would be things like that that, you know, it's every place is different. So, but if you can find those little things that are special, would add a lot, I think.
And you might want to check with the missionary, because there were some friends of ours that lived in Uganda, other missionaries, and at their post office, you have to pay taxes on the boxes. So sometimes their taxes were more than the boxes were, so they didn't really want to pay the taxes. Yeah. So wherever they are in the world, you may want to find out if they have to pay, you know, taxes on customs amounts and stuff like that. Yeah. So we didn't. So
it's a good point. That's very helpful. I'm going to try to type up all of these notes and share some more resources with y'all. I think Tammy will have many of your emails, or I can ask your Sunday school teacher if I have your permission to do that. If you don't want to receive these notes, you don't have to. You can let me know. But next, and we're going to end in time for worship tonight, but next, I want us to look at this document that says care teams. I hope everyone has a copy of that. So, in our Sunday school classes, some of our Sunday schools have adopted up to 8 units, 8 families or singles, individuals, couples, like the Cooper class. Ferguson Maddox class has a lot, and maybe some of yours. I know also several of our classes have 2 or 3. I think my class has 2 that we're kind of assigned. Brett might not even know, because he just stepped into that role, and he has no clue who they are, and that's not his fault. And so you might be the same way. You're like, you know what? I've been in my Sunday school for a year, and I don't even know who our people are. Well, that might mean they're not getting cared for that well, unfortunately, if we don't even know who they are. And so, you know, at Lakeview, I learned this from a book I read recently that Kevin Webb taught me. They talk about, in leadership, you need conviction, culture, and constructs. At Lakeview, we have the conviction that we need to be in missions. We have the culture. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. And we have some constructs. A construct would be like a method or a pipeline or a how-to. And I think we have some constructs on how to care for our missionaries, like International Missions Festival. Our Sunday schools are doing some things. Impact on Wednesday night, missionary prayer and care that Miss Patty Chance does. And there's so many others that I don't even know about. Our Bibb guest house. But I hope that these care teams can help strengthen the structures or the constructs of your Sunday school class. So maybe you've been taking notes, and you can equip your Sunday school or small group in how to be a good care team. So let's just look at this real quick. A care team is an expression of our church's commitment to support our missionaries. This team is a group of individuals who take the responsibility to coordinate our church's support and encouragement of one of our missionaries, whether that's a single, couple, or family, and to serve as their representatives to the Lakeview church body. Now, as Holly said, it would be wonderful if these care teams were formed before the missionaries were sent to the field, so that some relational trust and could be built, so that they're more free to share prayer needs and concerns and difficulties. Some of our missionaries on the field, you might not, like some people, they've been at Lakeview since childhood, so we know them really well. Some of them came here in college, and we don't know them very well because we only had them for 4 years or so. But We can't always form care teams before they go to the field, and that's okay. But what are the care team roles? There's four roles, ideally, on a care team. A care team leader. It could be the Sunday school leader, but I would propose maybe it's not the Sunday school leader, simply because the Sunday school teacher has to prepare their lesson plans, and they've got a lot on their plate with teaching. A prayer coordinator, a furlough coordinator, and a physical needs coordinator. So right now, Tammy McDonald is furlough coordinator for all 83 units, almost. And she does a lot of the physical needs. And I'm not downplaying what y'all are already doing, but we need to spread the wealth, because some of you had the gift of hospitality or service or shepherding, and you could meet one of these roles. And so let me explain them to you. The care team leader supports the other care team members to meet specific needs of the missionary. This person would report any necessary updates to the Lakeview Mission Office. So you're kind of the liaison between your Sunday school and your care team and Tammy and Hal and myself. You let us know when a problem arises so we can meet that need. Prayer coordinator. The prayer coordinator will be the primary person in contact with the field missionary. The main responsibility of the prayer coordinator is to communicate with the missionary via email and video chat on a regular basis and relay helpful information, including prayer requests, back to the Sunday school class. So I've seen one class, like Ferguson Maddox's class, created a calendar week by week from August to December to care for one of their families that went to the field. That's a great way to do it. And every week, a new family would send an email or have a video call with Preston and Hallie Lipinski. And that was especially helpful, I think, for Preston and Hallie, because they'd only been members here for about 6 months. And so now what's happening is they're getting to know all of the members of the Sunday school class, because there's a weekly touch. But I would also advocate that it could be healthy if it's kind of the same person checking in with them week after week after week. And that's not to say that other members of the Sunday school class don't also need to check in, but if there's consistency, you can build intimacy and trust over time, and you don't feel like, the field missionary doesn't feel like, I have to share the same surface level prayer request every week to a new person. But as the prayer coordinator is hearing needs, and in a month they share how God answered that need. And there's some pretty sensitive things that person might have trouble sharing if it's a new person week after week, such as, I'm having trouble as a husband loving my wife, and I keep getting angry with my children. Would you pray that God would give me a spirit of kindness and humility? That would be hard to share, but it's needed. They might not be willing to share that with their mission agency, especially if they might not be willing to share that in their prayer email that goes to 300 people, especially if those are the people donating money to them. But they'll share it with you, because they know, regardless of what you tell me, we're going to keep supporting you. We're going to keep loving you. You're a Christian. You're a missionary, but you sin just like I do. And we're not going to revoke support, whether it's financial or prayer or emotional, just because you confess sin to me. On that note, we do need to have some confidentiality. The prayer coordinator needs to ask them, can I share this with the class or keep it to myself? Also, I think there should be, I don't know the ethical or legal laws, but I would say if they share suicidal or depression tendencies, if someone's in danger, you need to tell Hal Cooper about that. We need to know, and we want the people to feel safe where they can share things with us, and we're not going to pull them off the field immediately. Like, we would consult with their agency. The agency member care professionals would know. If they're just having culture shock and their difficult time with language, and their teenagers are having some trouble with school, we're not going to make that call. But if it's pretty, if it's serious where someone's health is in a question, our pastor Hal needs to know that for their safety and their and that's as simple as it is. But do have confidentiality. The furlough coordinator. The furlough coordinator will coordinate the Lakeview Mission Office and the Sunday school class, the details of the missionaries' reentry to the States for their temporary furlough home assignment time. There will be many practical needs that they'll have, airport transport, housing, vehicle, cell phone, food, etc., as well as an incredible mix of emotions to work through, excitement, joy, relief, sadness, exhaustion, confusion, reverse culture shock, fear, etc. The furlough coordinator will help organize and mobilize the team to be ready to meet those needs. So I'll just make the plug right now. We need more mission housing. If God put it on your heart to donate a house, an apartment, maybe you don't, but maybe someone you know has 100 rental properties in Auburn. Maybe they could give one to the church. Or if we hope that if some of you have elderly parents, that they live a long life. But if your elderly parent moves in with you for you to care for them, or they move to the nursing home and pass away, or they pass on, of course, don't go against their wish. But if they would wish to give it to the church, that would be a great blessing. The current house we have now was given to us in that way. And the lady requested, let's only use this for missions. And we've honored that request. And it's already booked up 3 years in advance, y'all. My family is hoping to go out next January. And January 2021. And the mission house already has one family that's reserved it for about 10 straight months in 2022 or something. That's how serious it is. And if we don't have it available, they're not going to come here. They're going to go to Nashville, Atlanta, Birmingham, wherever some other random church has a house available. But we'd love for them to come to our church because we're their church. And we've sent workers out to the field in the past month. J and M, who flew out 2 days ago to a place, I'm recording this for later training purposes. J and M flew out to a place 2 days ago with their two daughters. And M would tell you, I'm confident in my call because Miss D was here on furlough and she discipled me. So realize that us having people here on furlough is training and sending more workers. Elle, a single girl, is on the field with Miss D, and she would attribute it to Miss D coming back and pouring into her. How many more will be sent if we have the housing available? And we want to bless them. They're our family. So Miss Tammy keeps a list of houses available. If you have one bedroom, two bedrooms, three bedrooms, maybe you can't put someone up for 10 months. And that might not even be healthy for the family. But sometimes people come in and the other family's exiting in about a week or two, but they have a 1 or 2 week layover in Auburn where the bib house isn't available. Maybe you could house them for that 1 to 2 week gap until the other family leaves and we can get them in. Every October, late September, we have our International Missions Festival. We have needs to house from 40 to 60 people. Some are singles, some are couples, some are families of six. Maybe you could house them. Let Tammy know. She'll add you to the list. If you're in a stressful season of life, all you have to say is decline. We can't do it this weekend. We can't do it. But add. Let us know. I report with great gladness that we now have a vehicle for missionaries that the church has bought, and that's a great help. But even if maybe you had a spare vehicle that could be used for a week, a month, let Tammy know. But that furlough coordinator, let's say you get an email and they say, we're coming home next June, that could be the way that that field missionary is crying out, somebody please ask us where we're staying. Somebody please send an email back and say, do you need anything? Maybe they're struggling to state it clearly that we're coming home and right now we're planning to stay in our parents' extra bedroom and it's going to be crunched for us and our kiddos. Or maybe we're going home and home's not the same because since we've been on the field, our parents have gotten a divorce and we'd really like to stay somewhere else. As soon, if you're the furlough coordinator, as soon as you hear that they're coming home, we want to respond back and say, what are the dates? What do you need? I can't promise you we'll meet those needs, but we want to try our best. The physical needs manager. The physical needs manager, and also the coordinator, that's not on you. You're just coordinating the effort. You're getting the info to Tammy so the church can coordinate. You're not saying you're going to meet all their needs. The physical needs manager. The physical needs manager will coordinate the physical needs of the missionary. The physical needs can include health, safety, fitness, food, finances, resources. This could also include helping the missionary receive short-term teams from Lakeview that go meet specific needs. Now, maybe you have, like, maybe the Ferguson Maddox class would just have to, like, to have one care team for all 7 or 8 units. It'd be hard to have a care team for each unit because that'd be about 30 people, and their class isn't, but maybe 40 or 50. But so I realize you might not be able to fill all 4 roles, but this is just a framework. You go do with it what you want. Take it to your Sunday school class. That's just a framework. Okay, so I know that some of the best ideas to care for workers aren't in my brain, but they're in your brain. But I did want to give us some ideas. And so we're going to have a little group session of brainstorm. But before we do, could someone read that top bulleted section? Ways to love and encourage overseas workers. Would someone just read that bulleted section for us?
Pray for them regularly and let them know you are praying for them. Share your family picture and any recent family updates with the worker. Visit the workers on the field. Be sure to take requests on what goodies to bring them. Set up a voice call or video call with the worker to encourage them and hear an update on their life and work. Be sure to be aware of the time difference and be flexible. Also be sure of any security precautions you should take with the words you use. Send regular emails or text messages to the worker. Take security precautions. Ask the workers about a wish list they have and consider sending a package to them or sending items by a short-term team. Respond to their update newsletter with a brief email to assure them you are praying for them. Don't be shy to ask them if they have any financial needs. Consider how you can help meet those needs or advocate to others you know on behalf of the worker. Find doctors, technology specialists, and educators who can assist the workers on the field.
Okay. So almost all of those had already been mentioned this evening. But, yeah, you might think, what do I have to offer? I'm a lawyer. Well, maybe they need help setting up a will. Maybe they need someone to make a right of attorney or whatever you call that, power of attorney. You might say, I'm just a doctor. I'm a nurse. Well, in these places, most time, you can just walk up to a pharmacy and you don't need a prescription. You walk up to a convenience store and get the medicine, but they don't know what medicine to get if they don't know the diagnosis. So you can video call with you, the nurse, and say, these are the symptoms. Here, look at their eye on the video call. What is that red stuff? What's going on there? What's that pus? What, you know, and you, the nurse or doctor, could kind of help diagnose it. Because trust me, at least the places I've been to, the medical training isn't as high as what our doctors and nurses get here.
And then you need the lawyer.
Right, that's right. Technology specialist, you can help advise them on malware or how to download a certain thing or whatever. educators, they start getting up into chemistry and algebra and geometry, and that might be a little past what the homeschooling can allow for or what the international school teachers are capable of teaching your children. Or there's no international school, no good public education. You might say, I just know how to add numbers. That could be the thing that keeps the family on the field, because there's not stress every night when the mom and dad are having to help their teenager work through geometry problems. You don't know, you don't realize how meaningful you can be. And so use your talents, use your gifts. Let me know, let Hal know, let Tammy know, what is your specialty? What do you have to offer? And we'll find a place. We'll finish this bulleted point and then we'll have a final brainstorm discussion. Who would like to read these? Holly, will you read the furlough and add in your input? Because you said you had a lot to add on that. Add in input as you go.
Oh, are you talking about all of these?
Sure, if you don't mind, just at the bottom, the bottom half, loving and encouraging the workers on stateside assignment. Is that okay?
Where are you at? Okay, I'm sorry.
Sure.
As soon as you hear that the workers traveling stateside respond and ask if they need help finding housing, assist them in securing suitable housing for their needs. And I can't stress enough about the Mission House. When we were coming home on our first furlough, we were leaving our son here. He was joining the Coast Guard. And just having a house for ourselves as a family to kind of like say goodbye to him. Yes, we could have stayed with family and friends, but my children would have been sleeping on the floor or something. But yeah. I can't stress enough of the importance of Mission House. So be sure the worker has a reliable vehicle for the duration of their stateside assignment. Invite the worker to your home for dinner and show genuine interest in their life and work. And that is a very good point. They want to come here and share about their experiences. Please ask questions, even to the kids. Ask the children about the mission field. Be gracious as you listen. It is possible that the worker endured traumatic events, are suffering in their last overseas term, and they may still be processing it. That's true too. If the worker stays overnight in your home, offer them the use of your laundry facilities. Plan to stock the home where the worker is staying with groceries and personal touches that show and care thoughtfulness. We actually stayed at the First Baptist Church Opelika Mission House, and their Sunday school rooms would take a different week. And when we came there, they had stocked the pantry. They had gift cards of gas cards, gift cards at a grocery store. But that's something, too, when people come on furlough, it's very expensive, and their salary really doesn't cover a lot of the furlough expenses. So that's just another idea. Consider writing a card to each person in the worker family. Help the children and the family get assimilated into children, youth activities at church, and recreational activities in the city as the parents desire. Pay any counting fees for the children. Offer opportunities for the worker to share in public all that God is doing. This could be in a worship service, a Sunday school class, a small group, or simply a group of friends. Invite the worker over for a time of fun where they are not expected to talk about their work overseas. Buy tickets for them to a special sporting event. The worker and the family may have not been to a game in 3+ years. Loan toys, bikes, sports equipment, etc. to the children or the worker or the family. Consider giving the worker a gift card to a clothing outlet store. Stateside assignments may be the time that they update their wardrobe. I will give a little plug on that. In Uganda, we had no winter clothes, and we had not been home in 2.5 years. And so when we came home, Rachel had no clothes. So she came off the plane, and you don't think about that. And she grew so much while we were there. So gift certificates to clothing stores. And, you know, you wonder why missionary kids probably look like they do, because you don't understand if they come home in a different season, they don't have those type clothes. So just be mindful of that. So Consider providing a vacation for the worker and their family. It is possible you have a beach house, lake house, mountain chalet, or no other people do. If you offer this to the worker or family for a free or discounted rate, you could help in a huge way. If the worker and their family are meeting with you after a long day of travel, allow them time to decompress and rest, or time for the kids to run around and play. Ask the workers about the way any ways you can help them with things back at home while they serve on the field. Do they need legal counsel? Like he said, somebody helped us draw up a will and do power of attorneys. So do they need tutoring for their children? If you know any college students, what helped us the most, our children's minister, she came over for 3 months, and her major was in science and math. And that's the only reason my son passed chemistry and algebra, you know, is because she came and helped. So any college students that you know, or even online stuff now, can help right. out homeschooling. Do they have elderly parents or family in need of help? And utilize your skills to care for them. So.
Great. Well, I tried to make this a little interactive and not all me talking and kind of through the Bible study time and all, but I did have some things that the Lord put on my heart to share. But I do want to make sure we get down to Sunday school because Aaron's going to give us a great lesson in Philippians 3. But did you have other ideas that you've done or things that we didn't have on this list? That's great. Like, there's a family right now, C and L, that are here, and I think they have 2 young children, and they're coming back from East Asia and getting relocated to Middle East. I bet C and L would love it if someone volunteered to babysit their 2 children, so they could go out on a date night. What other ideas?
I know it's not an idea, and probably already touched on it. This thing about the housing thing. I mean, just to give you a perspective, one of the missionaries has 2 kids. Their kids have been on the field their whole life. And he told me the Bibb house, that's their American home. That's the only home those kids know. And it kind of touched my heart there because those kids don't have what all these other kids have. And just that having that for them is awesome. And just pat the back of the family that gave it and the church for supporting it. But those are the kind of things that really get you go. You know, you find out that is the home. That is America home to them. That's the only home they know. It may be shared by 2 or 3 other dozen families before they come back. When they come back, that's their home. That's their mindset. And that really touched my heart, just to give you a perspective of what they're feeling.
On that note, Miss Tammy and Miss Shannon Bolt and a few other women go in and strip the sheets and clean the bathrooms and dust. And they go in and do a lot of this personal touches. But if you have the gift of service, you have the gift of hospitality or administration, you can fit in that.
And you can fix things.
Right, if you can fix things.
That's out of my wheelhouse.
Yes.
I don't know, but she asked me about something that I didn't know anything about it.
If you're a handyman.
Things that get broken at house need to be fixed.
Right. So that's so valuable. So just know, let Tammy know, and she'll add you to the resource list. And if you can't do it, that's fine. But any other ideas before we close in prayer?
I think sometimes teenagers, it's really hard for them, you know, because little kids, I feel like they pretty much are happy anywhere. I mean, you can go anywhere with them, and they're happy if they're with their family. But teens coming back, you know, I know I came back when I was 16 from Africa, and you just feel so awkward, so like you don't fit in, and it's really hard. So I think if anybody has a heart for teenagers and for missions, yes. There's really, that can just be a really hard time. Or to help the teenagers here understand that. And, you know, even if they just have one person they can relate to or ask those questions that they think are silly that they are embarrassed to ask. Mm.
The one thing that Hal brought up about mission housing is a lot of when people come back from the field, family might not support them being on the field. So if they come home and they have to go home, it's not a positive situation for them because their parents don't like the grandkids being somewhere. And so it's not a refreshing time. It is not a very good time. So yeah, Lakeview really needs mission housing for those people who are coming off the field so they can be refreshed and so they don't have to, I guess, be persecuted when they come back home. So that's very important if we're, I guess, that serious about missions.
I'm going to pray, and on your way out, if you'd like, you can look at those books over there. I have some resources, not for you to take, but if you wanted to order a copy, you could find any of those resources on Amazon. Those are some of my personal books. And I'm so honored that you're here with us, and let me know how I can serve you so that you can serve. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we worship you. You're the God of all the nations. You will bring to completion that which you have begun. You will be worshiped by every tribe and tongue, for you are worthy. Thank you, Lord. We are so thankful that we get to play a part. It's an honor, a privilege, and we love you for letting us be involved. In Jesus' name, amen.